So in light of Valentine's Day, we are doing a two-part series. I'm doing a two-part series entitled True Love. True Love. Now, true love is a concept or it's a term that you hear very often, especially in culture and society and movies and in movies and books and television. In fact, you might know from The Princess Bride, true love. Okay, so we hear it often. But the way that culture and movies depict true love often differs greatly from the way that Jesus depicted true love. And so that's what we're going to discuss over the next 2 weeks. Now, the greatest love stories, both on film and in books, is about someone's search for the one true love, the person they meet, and there's often overwhelming obstacles between them. They have to face trials, and you know, sometimes there's action, and there's intrigue, and there's an evil stepmother, and they have to battle through this to be united with their true love. And then how does it end? Happily ever after. And it makes a great story. It makes an entertaining story. But the concept of the one is actually a myth. The concept of the right person is a myth. And it's a myth that has the potential to damage your relationships, even ruin or end your relationships. Now, I want to be clear. I'm not saying that there aren't people who are right for you and people who are wrong for you, because some people are right for you and some people are wrong for you. And we're going to talk about that next week and break it down. But the one right person who you're going to find and live happily ever after is a myth. And the myth of the one will undermine your success in the search for the one and for the commitment to your spouse. Because placing your faith in the right person will lead you in the wrong direction. And behind the myth of the one, or behind the right person myth, there are several lies. And maybe this morning you might think, well, yeah, I'm married. I've discovered it doesn't lead to happily ever after. I discover that, you know, maybe there isn't the right person. It's a person you choose, a person you love. But there are still lies behind this myth that you might fall victim to. So if you're married, I want to challenge you to overcome these lies and examine whether or not you've fallen victim to them in your relationship. If you're single or you're dating, or someday you're hoping to date, you're hoping to become married, I want to challenge you to challenge the lies before you choose your person. And even if you were divorced, if you're not with someone, if you're widowed, these lies can still affect you. And we'll talk about that. Now, the first big lie in the myth of the right person is the right person will carry all my burdens. This is something that we often fall victim to. We come home from a long day of work and we immediately just want to remove all of the junk, you know, get things off your chest, vent out your frustrations of the day, essentially dump it all on the lap of your partner, of your spouse. And you might feel great afterwards. You might walk away feeling lighter. But they're stuck holding everything you just dumped out on them. They're stuck with your junk. And not only your junk, but the junk of their own day. Now they're carrying twice the burden. And many people, if you've grown up in the church, you might think about carrying each other's burdens, and you'll be quick to quote Paul's commandment in Galatians. He says, bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. So right there, it says we're supposed to bear each other's burdens. But just three verses later, Paul also instructs, for each one should carry their own load. Now, is this contradictory? Do these go against each other? No. Because it's not one or the other. It's both. As Christians, as followers of Jesus, we are responsible to take care of ourselves. We are responsible to carry our own burdens. We are responsible to take responsibility of our lives, not expect someone else to carry the burden. But we are also expected to carry the burdens of others. Let me be clear. It's not an expectation of others to carry your burden. It's you taking up the call to carry the burden of others. Do you understand what I mean by that? It's not expecting to receive something. It is giving yourself up. Now, the knee-jerk reaction might be to say, well, that's not fair. That's not fair that I deal with my own life and Jesus wants me to carry the burdens of others. And you're right, it's not fair. But Jesus' entire mission wasn't to demonstrate that love is about fairness. It's about submission. And we'll talk about that more next week. But the second lie, and it goes along with the first one, is that the right person will solve all my problems. The right person is going to solve all my problems. And this one is particularly common in people who are dating or engaged or you're hoping to be married one day. You expect that when you meet the right person, when you get married, many of the struggles you currently face will be solved. That whatever struggles or bad habits or addictions you have will just go away once you meet the right person. That if you are in financial difficulty before meeting the right person, the right person is going to solve your problem with finances. But that's not the case. If you don't have a budget now, if you don't take control of your spending now, that's not going to go away when you're married. Many people think if you have an issue with lust before marriage, that it's instantly going to go away once you're married because sex is going to solve that. But it's not the case. If you have an issue with love now or lust now, you're going to have an issue with lust later. People think that marriage will somehow enable them to instantly change. But Andy Stanley has a wonderful quote. It says, saying I do doesn't make you capable, it makes you accountable. The problems you face are going to magically go away. Once you get married, it's not like you gain this new superpower to be capable of defeating all these things. No, now you're accountable to someone else. In fact, now you're dragging someone else into the problems that you have. If you don't get right with your family and deal with past trauma and hurt before a marriage, you are going to drag that hurt and trauma and problems with your family into the marriage. The struggles you face will often follow you into marriage, and in many cases, they will become worse. And when people enter those situations where the old struggles, the old habits, the old problems rise up in a marriage, it leads to heartbreak for both parties, because the one who's struggling might become disappointed that the other person didn't fix it for them. But in Psalm, it says, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. We cannot expect others to instantly fix the messes that we have ourselves made. We've dug ourselves into a hole. We can't expect someone else to pull us out of it. People can help, but that expectation that they are to fix it doesn't make up for your lack of preparedness. You have to prepare yourself before entering that situation. Maybe your problems aren't going to be solved completely. Maybe you're still getting control of your finances, but as long as you set the budget and you create the correct spending habits, then they can help with it, but they cannot fix your heart. If you don't acknowledge that there is a problem and don't make an effort to fix that problem, they aren't going to take it away. And this leads us to the next lie. The right person will meet all my expectations. Now, it's natural. When we think about a relationship, whether we have a person in mind or don't, we just look at a future. Or if you're married, you expect that they will be able to meet all your expectations. You have an expectation of what your life is going to be and how they will love you. But the expectations can become a burden to the other person. Because believe it or not, expectations limit your ability to love. Having an expectation for your partner limits your ability and damages your ability to love them. Because it creates a debt-debtor relationship. It places them in debt of your expectation. So when they meet your expectation, you're at zero. You're back to normal. They met your debt, and you're not grateful for it. You don't have gratitude for them to meet your expectation. And when they don't meet it, they owe you something. And there's disappointment there. In your mind, it was the very least that they could do. And expecting the other person to always meet your needs and your wants will only lead to disappointment. Because they're not always going to meet your expectations. If you're married, you know this. They're going to show up late. They're going to leave their dirty laundry on the floor. They're going to leave dishes in the sink. They might forget the birthday or Valentine's Day. They might not, you know, the dinner that you've been looking forward to all day just might not be what you expected. Whatever it may be, people are going to disappoint you. They're not always going to be able to completely focus on you. They're not always going to be able to put their own problems aside to focus on yours. Jesus said in Luke, "But love your enemies and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil." Jesus said that instead of placing people in the debt of expectation, you should do good to them and lend to them, expecting nothing in return. Then when they do something for you, I'll tell you, you will be grateful for everything. And gratitude is key to a healthy relationship. When gratitude disappears, the love will disappear. When you are no longer grateful for the way they love you, you will lose your love for them. Paul instructed in Ephesians, he said, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So what does this mean? This does not mean one is superior to the other. This is mutual submission. Sometimes people get caught up on the beginning part of that passage, but pay attention to the second part. Husbands are to serve their wives the way Christ served us. Jesus laid down his life, took the most lowly status on earth, took up the most humiliating death for the church, and husbands are to do the same thing. There's a term that some people like to use, the submission competition or the race to the back of the line. It's a competition between a Christian husband and a Christian wife of not doing it out of superiority, but doing it out of humility of who can outserve each other. You should both be racing to the back of the line. You should both be racing to do the chores, to serve each other. Now, many people will say, well, what if only one person is following through with this? Then that's not fair. Then it's just one person racing back to the line and the other person's just sitting there. It's not fair. And you're right. Again, it's not fair. But a Christ-led relationship is defined by submission and sacrifice, not by fairness. Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice for us while we curse and disobey him and choose to follow our own path rather than his. Is that fair? No. It's love. And lie four. I cannot experience true love, joy, peace, and purpose until I meet the right person. I cannot experience happily ever after until I meet the right person. I won't be happy until I'm in a relationship. I'm no longer in a relationship, so therefore I cannot be happy. And this lie is the most dangerous of all. This lie causes married people to become dissatisfied and single people to become disillusioned. Because falling in love is the easy part. Put two semi-attractive people in a room together, leave them there for a week, and they will walk out no longer strangers, okay? If they have a pulse, they will feel something for each other. It's easy. How many times in your life have you thought that you've fallen in love with someone? Okay? Men, how many times have you just seen someone walk by and instantly you're planning your marriage? Okay? It's easy to fall in love. If you have a pulse, you can do it. But even in the best of relationships, those feelings you felt in the beginning, the spark when you first held hands or kissed each other, men, the first time they actually texted you back, those feelings come and go. They aren't always going to be present in your relationship. It's not always going to be sunshine and rainbows and little tingling sparks and butterflies in your stomach, okay? You're going to face dark times. The married people here, they're nodding their head. They know what I mean. You're going to get in disagreements. You're going to get in fights over the stupidest things. And things aren't always going to be happy. But so many times when people fall victim to this lie, they begin to question whether their spouse is really the one or the right person because they become dissatisfied. They become disappointed in who they're with because they're not experiencing the happiness and the love and the peace that they had hoped for and expected. And oftentimes, right around that time, when they begin to become dissatisfied, someone new will enter the picture. And again, as we said, falling in love is the easy part. You'll get the feelings, the butterflies, the nervousness and excitement with them rather than the person that you're with. And then creating this habit of leaving someone because you're unhappy only becomes easier. We all know that currently 50% of marriages end in divorce, and that's tragic, and it's often because of this reason. It's the expectations. It's not handling problems before marriage, and it's becoming unhappy and dissatisfied. But 67% of second marriages fail. And a whopping 73% of third marriages fail. Once you begin to break a commitment because you're unhappy, the habit becomes easier, and you'll become less and less satisfied of the people that you're with. Because we're looking for happiness, for love, and for joy, for peace in a person that is naturally flawed and won't meet your expectations. And for single people, this idea causes them to become disillusioned because they think that they'll never experience full joy, full happiness until they meet the right person. And this leads to incredible unhappiness and discontentment while you're single. It ultimately will then lead to disappointment in marriage when you do find someone. And instead of focusing on appreciating your current relationship status and your singleness, and focusing on what God wants to do in your life now, you'll spend the time unhappy, yearning for a myth that won't fulfill you the way that you expected. The truth is, and regardless of where you are, if you're married, if you're engaged, if you're dating or hoping to date, if you're widowed, only God can meet the standards of the one. We are wired to search for and desire and long for the one. It's in our human nature. But the one that you're looking for isn't another person. It's a relationship with our Heavenly Father. It's life through the Spirit. And it's walking with Jesus. Because He can carry all our burdens. Now, if you're married, you should share your lies and your concerns and your fears with your spouse. You're supposed to share your life with them. But it's unreasonable, as we talked about, to expect them to carry it all. God, on the other hand, can carry it all. And He invites us to unload it all onto Him. That might be a new thought to you, but He invites you to take your junk and give it to Him. If you read the Psalms and the prayers of David, they are full of emotion. He's not pulling back. He's not holding his punches. He's asking God to destroy his enemies. He's not holding back. And in fact, in Psalms it says, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." And then in the New Testament, Peter echoed this. He said, "Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you." What does cast mean? It means toss. It means throw. It's unload it onto God because he cares for you. Not just the big things. Some people think God's too busy to hear my prayer about something. No, he invites you to give him your prayers, to give him your junk, even about the smallest of things. About your frustrating commute to work, about that little disagreement you had with a coworker or with a child or with your partner. And I promise you that if you cast your burdens and your frustrations and your fears and your anxieties to God, if you throw it all to him as he invites you to, you will complain less. You will complain less and feel the need to express your frustrations less. You will have vented to God, and your need to dump all the garbage of your day onto your spouse will lessen because you've allowed your emotions to fill your prayer to God. And so it's going to be less with your spouse. You'll still talk to them. You'll still let them know what's going on and how your day was, but your tone and your attitude will change. Have you ever written a letter to someone that you're angry with? Abraham Lincoln actually did this. I've heard a story that Abraham Lincoln did this. He wrote a really angry, hateful letter to an enemy, and then he put it in his drawer. He got his frustrations and his emotions out, but didn't cause the damage of sending it to them. I've done this before. And when I've done this, about the end of the message, the end of the letter, after I've gotten all my anger out, you start to say something like a little kind. You start to back it up a little bit. Because you start to realize the truth. You start to have the clarity once your emotions clear. Do that with God. Maybe even write your prayer out to God. God, this is what's going on today. And God can handle it. In fact, he is the solution to all of our problems. When you face a problem in life, turn to God because he is the solution. Before you enter a relationship, give your problems to God because he is the answer. There is no problem you will face in life that Jesus has not already overcome. There is no battle you fight that Jesus has not already won. John wrote that Jesus said, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." He says, in this world you are going to face battles, you are going to have problems, but it's okay. Because I am victorious over those problems. And through faith in Jesus, and through following the wisdom of his teachings, and through the power of the Holy Spirit working within us, we ourselves are overcomers. We ourselves have the solutions to the problems that we face and the power to overcome them, if only we submit to God. If only we allow him to work through us. Because he will never fail us. People will disappoint. People will fail to meet your expectations. But God will never fail us. Now you might face disappointment. Maybe again you have an expectation for God that he won't meet. You have a prayer that hasn't been answered the way you wanted to. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever thought you wanted something in life and then been grateful that God did not answer that prayer? Speaking of relationships, maybe, you know, you had a prayer that things were going to work out with that person and then it didn't. And now you look back and you're like, thank you, Lord. He will never fail us. Peter wrote, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Ultimately, God is going to work all things for his and for your good if you trust him to. And only he can give us the love, the joy, the peace, and purpose that we are looking for. Only he can give us the love that our souls crave, the peace that we desperately need, and the purpose for our life. Jesus said, excuse me, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, what's the fruit that he's referring to? Paul wrote, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. If you remain in Jesus, if you remain in a relationship with him, he will grow fruit in your life, the fruit of the love, joy, peace, and purpose that you're looking for. They're found in him, not in another person. They're found in intimacy with him, not in intimacy with another person. So regardless of where you are in life, regardless of your relationship status, you can experience true love. You can experience the truest form of love, the true love that your heart and your soul have craved all your life, but not by turning to a person, but by turning to the one.